more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
Quite right, too, because the world actually needs the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, doesn't it? Amelia Chambers.
Hello.
Excellent. Amelia, who's actually at this moment in time, through the magic of telephony, Michael Blackburn, in the auditorium at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, effectively watching rehearsals, actually prepping all. So tell us, what are you doing, Amelia, in the auditorium of the new Theatre Royal Lincoln?
Well, I'm just sat in one of the royal boxes, actually, just taking 5 minutes to speak to you, Alex.
Nice.
But we have the get-in at the moment for the Word Theatre tonight, which is a literary event. Mm-hmm. So we've just got people arriving for that at the moment. So that's tonight's plan.
Is that with Gemma and Baker, or is that something completely different?
It's with Gemma.
Yeah, you see Gemma Baker, who is indeed sat in the very same chair that you yourself are sat in the Lincoln studio next to Michael Blackburn. It's awesome the way these, I mean, this is what you call classic award-winning radio, just comparing where random souls have actually sat in their time on the planet Earth. I feel as though we've launched 2018 in a good manner. Yes. Anyway, apart from that, I do, Michael, have a confession to make for Amelia now. Yes. Should I go in now, or should I hold it off and sort of just hold fire on that whole sequence? I don't know. Hold it off. Welcome to the new Theatre Royal Lincoln. Lots of great things happening because Amelia is obviously looking after the marketing. Your official title is Marketing and Branding.
Marketing and Sales Manager.
Marketing and Sales Manager, exactly. And Natalie, of course, Hayes Cowley looks after the whole system from there. And I'm looking at the website now, which, strange enough, is newtheatreroyallincoln.co.uk. And already I'm seeing Alice in Wonderland, family-friendly family entertainment coming up in April. The Johnny Cash Roadshow is actually
coming up really soon.
The 3rd of February, Saturday the 3rd
That's
of February.
Right.
Mm. That'll be a ring of fire. And in many ways, he'll walk the line, but it'll probably hurt. One of the things that I've really been impressed with, Amelia, since Natalie took over the thing, and obviously since you came on board as marketing officer, there's such a range and a variety of events that are coming place there. It's not as though the theatre goes dark. It's there pretty much all over. I mean, we just said, well, we've got a poetry event that's coming up tonight, which is awesome. And it's just amazing. Congratulations.
No, it is fantastic what we've got coming up. And I think I just want to make mention as well that we had a spectacular pantomime which finished at the beginning of January, and we ended up having 21,000 people come and see that pantomime, which is record-breaking and kind of unheard of, which is fantastic. And then we had 3 days to turn the theatre around, and then we opened with two full houses. So we had an Illegal Eagles tribute and then a performance called Totally Tina, which was a Tina Turner tribute, and both of those were full houses. And then we had a screening from the Royal Opera House last night, which was really well attended. We have a poetry event tonight, the Word Theatre. We have Roy Orbison at the weekend, and then we have the Searchers as well, and then we finished the month with a talk from Michael Portillo. So it's a real variety that we've got coming up. Comedy, tributes, live music, screenings, just loads of stuff that we've got coming up in the next sort of month. Anything that you're interested in, we've probably got something for you.
It is quite frankly awesome. Now, Amelia, are you able to stay with us for the first musical piece that we're going to have today, which actually is a Michael Blackburn request come selection?
Yes.
Good. Because after that, then that gives Michael to have a look and a perusal at the website, and then ask some more sort of pertinent questions, such as Michael Portillo. Is he a good minister for loneliness? Would he make a good minister for loneliness? And other such exciting things that we can actually work through. But you'll be interested in knowing that, unlike Michael's normal musical selections, Amelia, you might actually have been just about born on the planet when this actually was produced, because normally it goes way back into the 1970s, and Amelia wasn't even around. That's just ridiculous, really. This one is from the heart of the 1990s. It's with the fabulous Tammy Wynette, or Wynette, depending on the state of America that you actually come from, and the KLF. Actually suggest that there are any cows in Moo Moo Land, or is it Mew Mew Land? But anyway, they're justified and ancient. Do you remember that song, Amelia Chambers?
No, I'm sorry. I was probably about
three. Yeah, I'm going to say exactly. It's ridiculous. 1990 or 1991. We'll find that out later. Could well be a motivating song, because in a few moments we'll be talking to Dr. Kostas Karygiorgas, a reader in psychology from Brunel University in London, who has actually come up with a survey of what are the most popular tunes to motivate yourself to. Do you have a motivatory tune, Amelia?
I like a bit of Motown, whatever that may be. That's sort of my motivational
song
choice. Anything like that.
So I mean, are we talking Supremes here? Are we talking obviously a whole stack of Motown artists that are actually around from that point of view?
The Supremes. Anything really.
Mm, interesting.
It's a whole genre.
Very good.
Carry on.
Some of us would actually say Johnny Cash is a motivator and was a motivator. The Johnny Cash Roadshow, the only tribute band to be endorsed by the Cash family.
That's right.
This is going
to be very impressive.
And it's one of two particular aspects of its show, forthcoming events, that, Michael, you were particularly interested in. When I was moving the cursor around, you said, "Stop! I want to go there."
I said, "Stop! Okay. I've even been able to go there." Yes, I mean, the Johnny Cash thing, I think, is quite interesting, isn't it? because of his kind of history. His life as well. I always thought that there's people like Johnny Cash and I'm trying to think of somebody else, Tom Waits, mm-hmm. people whose voices aren't really very tuneful.
Leonard Cohen.
And to some extent Dylan when he stopped being a folk singer, mm-hmm. but who nevertheless had this tremendous kind of power in their singing.
Yeah. Presence.
And that's it, you know. so that's what I was thinking about.
It's February the 3rd, a new Theatre Royal Lincoln, the UK's number one tribute, fronted by respected singer-songwriter Clive John, who I think, if memory serves, I did an interview with a few years ago, actually. I think he's a nice chap. I think so, but you know, memory might be sort of playing me tricks here. Anyway, Clive will be recreating with astounding accuracy and capturing the essence of what it was like to be at a real cash show. Brilliant.
It's a very high energy show. It looks brilliant. The costumes look brilliant. It looks pretty impressive. I'm going to be here to watch that one.
This is what we like to hear.
I was just thinking as well. Didn't he used to be known as the Man in Black?
He did.
But didn't Roy Orbison
also? He was indeed.
So
yes.
There were two
Men in Black.
Two top men.
It's like Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith.
Also
so
in black.
Not Will Smith, is
it? No. but he has been in the Men in Black, of course. Men in Black 1, Men in Black 2, Men in Black 3.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that in the Spider-Man they can actually just move us in all sorts of ways. Confession time. I'm actually sort of slightly obviated by the fact that the record attendance was over 21,000 for the pantomime, because after actually having to rearrange not once but three times to actually get passes to actually come along, none of the midweek drivettes nor myself, because of illness, flu, various other bits and pieces, managed to go and see the pantomime.
No!
You heard
enough about it. You could have helped us break the records even more, Alex, if you'd have been able
exactly,
to. Well
exactly. It would have been an additional three. It's fantastic.
Oh, no.
You know, it's,
so
I mean,
it's 21,000 and three.
Exactly.
21,000 is amazing.
it's amazing. Outstanding. And we'll work through it. Yes, Eva McDonald, Tessa Snart, Hannah Brown, of course, also all send our. It was a case of a mixture of sort of things. And yes, genuine illness had sort of struck. But, and I didn't have the heart to say anything. I thought, I can't let Amelia know this. Just let it go.
You've waited until we're on air.
Yeah, well,
I can't shout at you.
Well, you see the strategy there, you know, it's just a sort of a little line for that point. However, we did have for a wee while Andy Abraham and Tessa Snart as our masthead on our Facebook site. So we did.
Yes, I know you did that.
That's okay. So working through that. In case you're wondering what's happened to Sarah Bullimore, well, isn't the rest of the world. She's somewhere in Norfolk without any signal whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm glad you know.
Yeah, I know. It's just.
I saw her a few weeks ago. She seems well, so
good.
That's all good. She's very busy being.
Well, exactly so. And we'll talk more about the founder and creator of Lincoln Inspired, obviously, when she actually is here to respond in all sorts of ways. The other feature, of course, which particularly interested you, wasn't the adult pantomime for some reason, Michael. I thought you'd actually go for the adult pantomime. But
no, it didn't.
That's nearly sold out as well.
Oh, what a surprise.
I think Sinbad the Seaman. Sinbad the Seaman.
I think as we're on this topic, because Alex was very keen, you better tell us about that.
On the 9th of February.
Oh.
And the 10th of February.
Yes, Sinbad the Seaman. Well, it's hilarious. There's a few innuendos in there, as you can imagine, but it's a feel-good show, shall we say, and it's sort of carrying on from the highs of the traditional panto at Christmas time, and it's a little bit more for the adult audience, but it's selling really well, and it will be a fantastic show.
It's the Market Theatre Company doing the show that Harvey Weinstein obviously wanted to produce. I'm
yes.
sorry, I didn't realise.
Let's step
away.
I don't
know
you to say that, Alex.
No, I just step away from that whole sequence. It does feature Nick Hooton, Carrie Lawrence and Pip Johnson. But prior to that, of course, Michael, your namesake.
Oh, yes, the forename Michael Portillo, yes.
Michael Portillo.
What's he going to be talking about? Is he going to talk about trains and
a little
things?
Bit of both, I think. From the blurb that he's sent across, his team has sent across, it's a little bit about his life, and then a little bit about, obviously, the work that he's done on TV as well. So, and then a Q&A at the end. So it should be a really good show. I think he came to Lincoln a couple of years ago, and then he's back, and we've got over 400 people in for that one as well. So tickets are still available, but it's limited. It's been in high demand, that one. It should be really good.
It took Michael Portillo a little more than 10 years to get a seat in the Commons and rise in power and esteem to a point where he was a favoured leader of his party and a possible future Prime Minister. A track record like that suggests many a privileged friend of the rich and famous, but since leaving the House a decade ago, Michael has endeared himself to many with his obvious respect for solid workmanship and creative energy as found in our great Victorian railways and the daily toil of the working person. I'd automatically decide to rewrite that in terms of politically correct terms, really, working person.
Yes, because, I was just thinking in terms of political careers. Yeah. He ought to have been minister for being ejected.
Well, it's a way forward. Yeah, it's another time, you see. Clearly, if he'd had the joys of Amelia Chambers managing in his career, everything would have been perfect.
Yes. Everything would have been different.
It would have been completely
different. Okay,
exactly so. Amelia, website, Facebook, Twitter, how can people follow the delights of the new Lincoln Theatre Royal?
NewTheatreRoyalLincoln.co.uk is where you need to go to be able to find out more information about what we have on, or you can call our box office on 01522 519999. You can pop in, we're on Classic Gate, and pick up a new season brochure, and like you said, go on to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're there every day 24 hours a day telling you what we have going on and what we've got coming up. The next big thing for us is our in-house production of Alice in Wonderland, which opens throughout the Easter break from the 30th of March. So hopefully next time we speak, Alex, I'll have a little bit more information on that, but it's looking like it's going to be pretty spectacular. So,
It'll be tremendous. And hopefully we'll see you back in the studio. We'll be coming up certainly to the new Lincoln Theatre Royal, so we'll continue this special relationship. Let's make 2018 the year of the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, and inspired on our working together at Siren FM and developing all manner of marvellous things, really.
That sounds good to me.
It does. The final task we need to put to you, good self, Amelia, fairly awesome, really, because I'm going to run through a number of possible Motown tunes which are going to help motivate you through the rest of the afternoon and really gear you up for all manner of things. Stop in the Name of Love, I'm Going to Make You Love Me, Baby Love, Reflections, You Keep Me Hanging On, You Can't Hurry Love, Where Did Our Love Go, Automatically Sunshine, or The Happening, Where Do You Want to Go?
You Can't Hurry Love.
And literally, despite Phil Collins attempting to actually do this a few years ago, I still feel you
can't.
Please don't play that one. No, yes. As I said, literally. I know there's certain things where even somebody who wasn't really around at the height of Phil Collins would say, no, there's only one Supremes. You Can't Hurry Love.
You know, those kind of things.
I need love. Strength.
Very wise, Diana Ross, of course, and the Supremes, and You Can't Hurry Love. Michael, shall we test your musical knowledge here? And I'm going to run through a little motivating musical medley, and this is these are the top three workover songs or songs to actually use to motivate yourself, this particular survey has actually revealed by our colleagues at Brunel University in London. We'll talk a bit more about this kind of aspects of this with, as mentioned, Dr. Kostas Kanagiotis and indeed technical journalist Tom Wiggins in a few moments. But I wonder again, first of all, can you identify what we're listening to? They'll come thick and fast because I'm not going to give you the whole sort of play. So literally, we're just going to have about 45, 50 seconds.
This is harder than university challenge.
Exactly. Well, we like to think university challenged. But that's another line for another story. And something else I was talking about with a colleague just a day or so ago. If you're ready, you might need a pencil, paper might be needed. If not, here it comes.
One shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment. Did you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy.
So in reverse order, there were the classic ones were there. Which ones were they, Michael? Identify them, please.
I recognise. It's a bit like the...
Come on, time's wasting.
Rocky thing.
Eye of the Tiger, Survivor was indeed number one. Before that, we had...
Something I recognise, but I can't remember the name of.
Eminem with Lose Yourself.
Whoever. And preceded by another one I recognise.
Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, them.
And Pump It.
Yeah, these are all far too modern apart from for me.
You say that, it's a way forward. But interestingly enough, a little bit of time jumping here for those people who are listening to us live. We've been looking at some of our fabulous construction workers who are outside the studio.
Yes.
And not in a kind of strange, spooky way, don't worry. It's okay. But I noticed they were sort of getting very excited when we were sort of playing some motivational music. And I think the one that they probably most wanted was the Eminem number. So we're going to actually sort of launch this for them in full 5 minutes worth. And then we'll probably find out a little bit more about motivating music and what the best music is to actually have when you're doing construction work.
Opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment. Did you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking, how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality, oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit, he choke. He's so mad, but he won't give up baddies. He know he won't have it, he knows. His whole back's at these ropes, it don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's broke. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home. When it's back to the lab again, yo, this old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose his health in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime, you better lose his health in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity. As we move toward a new world order, a normal life is boring.
stardom, close to post-mortem. It only grows harder, homie grows hotter. He blows, it's all over, these fools is all on him. Coast to coast shows, he's known as the Globetrotter. Lonely roads, God only knows he's grown farther. From home, he's no father. He goes home and barely knows his own daughter. But hold your nose, cause here goes the cold water. These fools don't want him no more, he's co-product. And they moved on to the next mo who flows. He knows dove and sold nada. And so the soul. I was playing in the beginning, the mood all changed. I've been chewed up and spit out and booed off stage. But I kept rhyming and stepped right in the next cipher. Best believe somebody's paying the Pied Piper. All the pain inside amplified by the fact that I can't get by with my 9 to 5. And I can't provide the right type of life for my family. Cause man, these damn food stamps don't buy diapers. And there's no movie, there's no Mekhi Pfeiffer. This is my life and these times are so hard.
Opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment. Would you capture it? Just let it slip.
Yo,
his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. His vomit.
And in 3-2-1 reverse order, the three top motivating tunes as currently identified in terms of getting us up for a whole range of things. Black Eyed Peas, Pump It Up, Eminem, Lose Yourself, and Eye of the Tiger, of course, by Survivor. Now, to address the fact of why do we actually still refer to having musical motivation to work through this whole process, why is this such an important side of things, we're delighted to welcome a dynamic duo of motivating fine folk. First of all, a reader in psychology extraordinaire from Brunel University, London. It's Dr. Kostas Karagiotis. How are you, Kostas?
I expected the Batman tune there as walk-on music.
Well, we can go for that.
It's a missed opportunity.
We don't want to run a cliche. That's the key thing from that point of view. And is it Karagiotis or Karagiorgis?
Karagiotis.
Karagiotis. Excellent. And the dynamic duo, obviously, is complete by the fabulous tech expert extraordinaire, as ever, Tom Wiggins. How are you, Tom?
Hello, I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
Brilliant. Now, Kostas, returning to your good self for this, over half of young people using smartphones to support their exercise regimes. Research that's been revealed today reveals that 4 in 10 of respondents use music to help them get the most. We've come on a wee while since Jane Fonda and her exercise videos, haven't we?
Well, Jane Fonda really represented a revolution, and that revolution was one of communal exercise. She brought out 22 videos, I think, Jane Fonda, sold more than 21 million of them, so she did quite well. But what we're seeing in more recent years with the advent of new technologies is a move away from the communal group-based use of music to very bespoke use of music, music that is used to cocoon oneself into a sort of listening bubble where you can listen to exactly what you want, when you want it, and it's drip-fed to meet your precise musical predilections.
So we lose that notion that used to be very much part of life in the 60s, 70s, 80s, where you might encounter songs which you might think, oh, I wasn't sort of expecting that. We construct our own, is that what you're saying?
That serendipity is flagging. It's not so much the case. It's much more about self-selection. But I think there does remain to be some peer group influence, particularly through social media and how people interact on platforms such as Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, it's not as though peer influence has gone away. It's still there. But on the whole, we're much more self-determined in how we consume music through new technologies such as the smartphone, such as the Apple Watch 3, which now has a streaming facility. So, yeah, there are changes afoot, but there is still a communal element to this.
Tom, returning to yourself in terms of the technical side of things, I mean, I was just intrigued to see that Survivor and Eye of the Tiger is still actually a motivating tune because, you know, it seems almost a cliche now. And way back in the day, it's like us doing Bill Haley in Rock Around the Clock as a motivating tune, which I suppose might be a thought. But were you surprised by any of the findings from this particular survey? Or is it a case of, well, as technology is there, we do have a kind of hankering after nostalgia for the past in terms of music and so on?
Slightly surprised, but I mean, Costas is the one that will explain to you what exactly is behind that success of Eye of the Tiger. You know, something I didn't know until I spoke to him.
Obviously, Sylvester Stallone, clearly.
Yeah, but there's specific musical ingredients in that song that make it particularly motivational.
But I mean, in terms of the technology, from your side of things, is this getting? I mean, we're approaching the era where wearables are becoming very much part of the inbuilt fashion, and we'll be having computer screens built into our spectacles and so on. So, you know, from that perspective, is this something which is going to become ever more prevalent in our lives, that people might be, I don't know, listening to an academic lecture at the same time as actually getting their latest tunes fed directly to their cranial capacities?
Yeah, I think, I mean, as the stats say there, you know, 68% of people are using technology, but 28% of them are using smartphones. So I think that says something about the fact that carrying a phone with you when you're exercising, there's sort of an element of risk there. You know, you could drop it. If you've got it in your pocket, it might come out. Some exercise kit doesn't even have pockets, you know, that kind of thing. So as you say, yeah, wearable technology is becoming a much bigger deal, particularly things like so there's this new Apple Watch that you can only get on EE, which has got a SIM card built in. So it's essentially a phone that you wear on your wrist. You don't need to take your phone with you. You don't have to worry about that. And the I think that one of the real benefits of this is that most wearable technology that's more affordable, a lot cheaper, but it comes with a much sort of lower threshold of functionality. So it will only do the main tracking, which you can do with your phone as well. But with this new version of the Apple Watch, it's got the SIM card in it as well, so you can actually leave your phone at home and then stream your music as you would normally if you were carrying your smartphone with you. And I think that makes a real difference, because people aren't now these days so sort of they don't like to put all the music, you know, they don't want to store it locally on their phone. They want to have that freedom of choice to stream what they want. And also, as we were saying about the choices of songs available, these streaming services put up playlists that they make themselves that are made up of songs that are particularly motivational. So you have to assume Eye of the Tiger is on at least one of those. And that means, you know, you always have music on hand that you can use to listen to when you're out exercising.
Costas, within the academic game, as I know from personal experience, sometimes you have to psych yourself up to deal with a group of students. Do you have a motivational song that you like to play before you go in to actually deal with students at Brunel University?
Oh, absolutely. Where is the love? Black Eyed Peas.
You know, exactly. Where is it? I mean, it's a rhetorical question well as everything else from that point of view. But returning to the notion of why Survivor number one, 26%, that's a substantial number. I mean, the next up, as we said, Eminem, 13%, Lose Yourself, Pump It Up, Black Eyed Peas, 13%, as opposed to Where Is The Love. And then we've got We Will Rock You and Wake Up by Avicii, Queen and We Will Rock You. Is there a kind of formula? Are we at that stage where effectively it's like Tin Pan Alley? If you want a motivational
little song, you put this in, put this in, put this minor fourth in, put that chord into the system, and there we are. It's an ideal motivator.
Well, actually, this is something that we've studied in some detail. You talked about cliches earlier, Alex. I would use the term archetypal tracks. And there are certain tracks that embody the sort of mindset that you require to engage in physical activity or to participate in the sport. And if we take tracks such as Eye of the Tiger, there are certain iconic cues, meaning that there are qualities of the music that are intrinsically stimulating. Those first few bars, they sound like auditory punches coming at you. And then you've got a very heavy beat that functions as a cradle for a motivational lyric. And it's all very uplifting and engaging. But at the same time, that was a track from a very successful film series that had at its heart a character who was a heavyweight boxing champion of the world, always striving to overcome adversity. And so when people hear the track, there's an extra musical association. The track conjures imagery of striving to overcome adversity, to be the best that you can possibly be, to go the extra mile. And so when you get this fusion of iconic cues and extra musical associations, there you have your optimal workout tracks. But sometimes it happens, you know, just with the iconic cues. So, for example, the pump it doesn't necessarily have many associations with activity, but sometimes it's purely cultural association. If you take a track like Vangelis's Chariots of Fire, it's not intrinsically a stimulating track, but because when we hear that, we associate it with Olympic glory, with those athletes in long white shorts striding effortlessly across the sands in St. Andrews. That also raises the human spirit and urges us to become something better than we are now.
Interesting, the Rocky thing, because I must admit I always preferred the sort of Bill Conti numbers, and as he's running up those Bostonian steps. But maybe that's just my age showing. Chariots of Fire, obviously you're running along a beach. What about yourself, Tom? What are your own particular favourites? Which, you know, we've got to do that freelance article. You think this is what's going to get me up? This is going to get me the prize.
So I sort of go against slightly the findings here, because heavy metal was only 12%. So it's a bit further down. But
are you into folk music or country music, perhaps?
Not so much. Maybe alt country, some a little bit of folk, but I don't find them particularly sort of inspiring in that way. Mm. So I'm sort of more on the heavy metal side of things there. So, you know, bands like Metallica and things like that.
There's a whole range of things we can actually continue to go on to talk about, but time as ever is precious and something we must not waste in the slightest. So, Costas, where can people go to find out more details about the fabulous research that you're actually doing at Brunel University and more?
Well, we drip feed our research and other interesting items via our group Twitter account, which people can find at Savvy Brunel.
Exactly, as in S-A-V-V-Y.
S-A-V-I.
S-A-V-I.
Brunel.
Marvellous. And Tom, is there a blog site or a place that people can actually locate your good self on, or indeed even a Twitter account?
Yeah, the best place is Twitter, which I am at WiggoWiggo.
Well, there we are. And to help you both through the rest of the day, which I'm sure is going to be fantastically motivated, Costas, I think you deserve this, because it is the Black Eyed Peas. Where is the love, gentlemen? A genuine delight. We will hopefully connect with you again in the very near future. Take care and have a splendid time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex.
Generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what to demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach, and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Strange, is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really, what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the truth, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach, and would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
So much to pack in, so little time.
We only got one word, that's all we got. One word, and something's wrong with it, something's wrong with it, something's wrong with the good word, word, yeah. We only got one word, that's all we got.
Although there are cosmologists that say we have more than one world. Never mind. Black Eyed Peas and Where Is the Love? Bringing us around to another question, which is going to bring us around to Angela Rippon on the programme talking about telephones and so on. Michael, why have you opted for your second choice coming from a band who aren't from the 60s, 70s, 80s, actually 90s just about, but certainly from the noughties?
From the noughties, yes, the Killers. Yeah, I had a sort of sudden spasm of
exactly.
Listening to
Inspired on Earth,
as they were contemporary bands, and I thought these guys are pretty cool. I like this.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line up to the platform of surrender. I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold, and I'm on my knees.
looking for the answer. Are we human or are we dancer?
Britons claiming to ignore phone calls to their landline, avoiding unwanted sales or scam calls, and effectively 300 million calls from friends and family possibly going unanswered each year. This may well herald the end of the landline, or can we actually have an alternative, a way forward, a way to actually catch the important calls whilst ignoring the scam ones and so on and so forth? To address this, who better than consumer champion extraordinaire, presenter of Rip Off Britain, and indeed visiting professor at the University of Lincoln, the amazingly talented Angela Rippon. How are you, Angela?
I'm very well, Alex. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise, Angela. It's always a delight, and we know we're going to get some sage advice from your good self as well from this point of view. So this particular survey, which came out from TalkTalk, the average Briton missing at least one important call a month because they're trying to avoid unwanted callers. I mean, I think every one of us who has a telephone, landline or otherwise, has been faced with the notion of people trying to sell us something, people trying to do various other bits and bobs, and we just want to say no.
Yes. And quite right too. And the interesting thing is, of course, that talking to people in the studio here, the number of people who don't bother to have landlines at all anymore, they work on their mobiles all the time. And unfortunately, of course, because of the way that the technology works with mobile telephones, it's much more difficult for you to block unwanted calls. So if you're only working off your mobile, you're more likely to be on the receiving end of unwanted calls than you are on landlines. But where the landline is concerned, as you say, TalkTalk have done this research, which demonstrates that anything between 40 and 50% of the people in the country that have a landline don't bother to answer the telephone all the time because they know that when they pick up the phone, it's not going to be someone to whom they do want to speak. It's going to be someone trying to sell them PPI, get an accident compensation for an accident they've supposedly had, that they're doing telemarketing, or, as we find on Rip Off Britain, that they're trying to scam you out of your money by trying to sell you a holiday home in the Canaries that doesn't exist, or buy diamonds for investment that don't exist. So I think, you know, a lot of people still do have their landlines. And if you're someone who wants to avoid nuisance calls, stick with your landline. Because what TalkTalk have come out with now is, and they're just one of a number of telephone companies that give you this kind of telephone preference service, but the system that TalkTalk have come up with is so simple and effective. What happens is that you give the company all those telephone numbers from the people to whom you know you really do want to speak. But of course, you know, we've all got hundreds, thousands probably, telephone numbers in our various devices, and you may leave out one or two, and it's quite possible that as a result, when your telephone rings, that yes, you will be talking to someone that you want to speak to, but that there may be people trying to get through to you who, for one reason or another, are not on your list of preferred calls. And all that happens is, when that person rings you, your phone doesn't ring. Instead, the person who is trying to ring you gets a recorded message asking for your name and your telephone number, and then your telephone will ring. And when you pick up the handset, you hear the recorded answer. And if it's someone saying, oh, you know, it's your local dentist checking on something, or it's the local school, or it's your long lost friend Fred who's getting in touch again, you just press one on the dial, and that number is automatically then added to those numbers that you're prepared to receive, and it will be there forever, and you can talk to the person. The thing is, of course, that with someone who's a scammer or a nuisance caller, the chances of them actually leaving a message are virtually nil, which means the phone has never rung in your house. That number is then automatically recorded and becomes one of those that will never be put through to you. But if by some chance the person on the end does decide to leave a message, when you hear the answer and they're saying, oh, well, you know, it's such and such a bank and we want to know if you've got PPI, and you don't want to talk to them, you just press 2. And that number, again, is expunged, and you will never get a call from them again. So it's so simple, and it means that with a landline, you can be absolutely certain that every call that comes through is one that is from someone to whom you genuinely do want to speak. And I think that, you know, it's terrific that the companies with the landlines, BT, Virgin, and now TalkTalk, are all taking their responsibility to their customers very seriously and giving them an extra line of defence. Because, you know, on Rip Off Britain, we hear so many stories of, and we had a 92-year-old gentleman who was scammed out of £17,000 as a result of a series of phone calls to his landline from a company that was selling him, supposedly, diamonds that were going to make him a profit. It was a scam. He lost all his money. We heard of an elderly lady in the Midlands who had so many nuisance calls that she was so stressed she simply refused to answer the telephone. And this is the trouble. People are not answering the phone. They may be missing really important calls or calls from people that they genuinely would love to talk to. So when you've got a company like TalkTalk and the others in the industry who are providing these telephone preference services, it means that you genuinely can be sure that when your phone rings, it's not going to be a nuisance caller or a scammer on the end, but someone that you genuinely want to talk to. And I think that's a terrific move forward.
It's fascinating because I still tend to use that wonderful piece of technology, the answer phone device for my own landline. And it does have a similar effect because clearly you're not going to have messages left. I mean, occasionally you might get people wanting to sell you various other bits and pieces, but you make that selection, you make that choice. Do I want to actually get back to them? Do I not want to get back to them? And this seems to have been something which, in a sense, has been a bit of a no-brainer. Surely it should have been introduced a good few years ago, really.
The thing is, Alex, and I agree with you. I mean, I have an answer phone on my machine too, and I do very often get...
We've left messages on each other's
We have indeed, Alex, over the years. But, you know, very often, for instance, my late mother, Edna, she died several years ago now. But when I was at her home down in Devon, I was in the house, I think, for about a week. And the phone kept ringing. And every time I picked it up, it was one of these scam callers or one of these nuisance calls. And I was thinking, well, my mum was 86. She was getting these calls all the time. So, you know, there are vulnerable people, elderly people that don't want them. There are ordinary members of the family who don't want them. And, I mean, I've even got sometimes, I don't know, 5 or 6 messages left from people saying, you know, PPI, these recorded messages. Mm. The thing is, you don't want those either because your phone is ringing. It's being used. And with a system like CallSafe, which is what TalkTalk have introduced, you don't even get the message because it immediately expunges when they say, you know, who they are and you don't want to talk to them. Yeah. So you'll never get that call again. And I know that there'll be an awful lot of people listening to this programme who will say, well, I don't answer the phone, but I still get the messages left. Mm. So that, you know, they still have to scroll through all the messages to find the ones from people to whom they do want to talk and bypass the ones from the nuisance calls.
Which, of course, is part of the heart of CallSafe. Doesn't need any extra kit. You simply dial 1472 to turn it on, and the magic will hopefully happen from that point onwards. Finally, Angela, just 4 top tips to stop unwanted calls. So well worth contacting, I think, from this point of view. First of all, don't tick that box which actually says, pass our details on to anybody you wish. wish, basically.
Do you know, I always assumed that that meant that when you tick that little box, it was just stuff that you might get through the post. But of course it isn't.
No.
They may pass on all sorts of other details. So make sure you say that you do not want to be contacted by anybody else. That's one way of doing it. Another way is there is, of course, the telephone preference service, which is something which is run independently. And you can always use that as well, which works in a similar way. If you've got somebody who is trying to sell you something or is clearly a scammer, report them to Action Fraud and action will be taken against them. And use products from your service provider, like CallSafe, which will ensure that you only get those calls that you genuinely want. So, you know, it's great, I think, that telephone companies are taking responsibility to protect their customers. But equally, as consumers, we have to do one or two things to protect ourselves as well. This has got to be a joint operation to ensure that we cut down on the number of nuisance calls and as a result perhaps improve the number or increase the number of people who are very happy to go on using their landlines, because until the technology enable, I'm told that there is an app which you may be able to put on your mobile phone that will block calls that you don't want. But really, until the technology is improved, I'm afraid if you're just using a mobile phone, you're probably going to go on getting those unwanted calls. Whereas there are now ways like CallSafe in which you can prevent them coming through on your landline.
Indeed. talktalk.co.uk/about-call-safe is the best place to go to
exactly.
If you're looking for further details. Angela, as always, we knew it was going to be an awesome connection. but we have to do our usual consumer interviewer questions to wrap up with, our interview questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephone link with us and not unwanted telephone link with us today?
Absolutely, Alex. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
In which case, we look forward to featuring again in the very near future. Angela Rippon, many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The programme took us from Angela Rippon right the way through to Dr. Kostas Karagiotis and Tom Wiggins. And we launched, of course, with the delightful Amelia Chambers from the new Lincoln Theatre Royal. Have you been inspired, Michael?
I've been very inspired.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. More inspiring stuff coming on Siren Radio as we speak. This has been the end of January's Inspired On Air. Will you be with us for the third Wednesday in February for February's Inspired On Air?
I intend to be.
That's good intentions all the way. A little smidgen of Rihanna featuring David Guetta. And then it's the news from the Sky News Centre. And then more goodness than you can honestly shake a pair of headphones at. Or indeed, a paint stick.